Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, Georgine Huang. She is the CEO, co-founder of Fairy God Boss. Exceptionally fun conversation. Learning a ton. I'm always interested in my own like sort of introspection. I don't necessarily, like obviously Technori has backed female founders, minority candidates since our inception. You know, we've always had the sort of 50-50 representation, 30% minority representation because it's the world we want to live in, the world we do live in, and it makes sense. But sometimes it's easy to get lost and not necessarily recognize sort of the reality. Like it's like you're not eating your own soup, as I said in the show. You know, my wife is due literally any minute. In fact, I can get a text message during the show, God knows. But it's only after I witnessed what she goes through as a pregnant person in her job, which is a teacher. So she has the freedom of having a union and having tenure and this sort of stuff. And even then, she still doesn't get the support and things that she necessarily deserves and needs. And it never dawned on me, which is crazy because I don't know how many women I've talked to as founders and CEOs and et cetera. And I hear it. It makes sense. But it's only when it happens to you and you're like, wow, if she was the founder or she was an ex-employee of any company, what would happen if she came in 7 months pregnant and said, I need these things. I need change. I need you to do all this stuff. If you're a startup and you don't have the funds to help her, what happens? Does she lose her job? Not because of that, but because you can't support her in the way she needs, so she has to move on? What goes on? Like, it just never dawned on me that like a person who's a teacher has the backing and support to ask for this. And even then it's not great. It's not perfect. I mean, nothing's perfect, but it's still missing things. And imagine, you know, do you lose out on a job promotion or are you first cuts because you were perceived a certain way because you asked for something you needed? And would that happen to a man? I don't think that it would. And part of it is it's not selfish. It's not because we're judging or we're, you know, whatever the word gender, you know, bias. It's we just don't know. I don't know. I couldn't imagine being in that situation. Never dawned on me. I hope I never treated anyone that way, but you wouldn't know until it hits you. And that is one of the things that is the reason Fairy God Boss exists, is that you can go on and start join a community of fellow women and men as allies. And make the workplace a better place. But also what is brilliant and why they just raised a $10 million Series A, companies trying to recruit the best talent can go on and recruit women who are quote unquote, you know, tuned in. They're woke. They know what expectations there are. And there's a bunch of gems here. Georgine lays on some great gems on what founders need to do is starting a company. We talk about her own company, obviously. But what candidates need to do, and I'll make it short for you, you got to be heard. You got to ask. You don't get things you don't ask for. And more importantly, and I'll leave this for you to listen to in the show, recruiting. What do you need to do as a company recruiting top talent? Whether it's boys, girls, minorities, doesn't matter. What do you got to do? Here's a hint. It's transparency. But that has a different meaning for different people. So tune in and you'll find that out. Before we do that, Startup Inbox. Startup Showcase. That's Saturdays. Are you guys listening? WGN Radio AM 720, Saturdays from 1 to 2, whenever the White Sox aren't playing. That's the Startup Showcase. This, my friends, Startup Inbox. And it's pretty simple. Active Campaign is a huge supporter of us. We're a big supporter of them. Go beyond email marketing with True Automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free. Here's the question. Erica Roman, accelerators necessary? While some cities like Chicago have several incubators, 81 and counting, other cities are just forming their own. Our accelerator is an important foundation to the region's tech culture development. 1871, 100% is. Tech Nexus was there before 1871, doesn't get a laud. They may be as important or more in the investor side. Investors need to have a place to go, especially those who haven't invested in venture, early stage venture. They need a place to go to see the accumulation of talent and things and ideas. For that regard, TechNexus is king. In the end, life is perception. Everything's about marketing. Everything's about followers. And Howard Tolman, who is not the founder, but he was the second CEO after Kevin Wheeler, now is Betsy. Howard is a mastermind at building a following and a what's the word? Intrigue. He makes you want to look. And 1871 did that. And what it did is it became the largest incubator in the world. And by default, people got to check it out. And whether or not the company's in there build anything doesn't matter. I mean, we've obviously had big winners, Spot Hero, Cameo, to name a few. Peanut Butter, Get Peanut Butter. We've had a ton of these. Chowly. There's a ton of companies that have come through. But they do so because it's a great place to plug into the community and learn everything. It's not necessarily like a co-working or accelerator, incubator. Techstars is there, but, you know, acceleration is whatever it is to you. So if you're going to talk about incubator, accelerator, different things, from an incubator standpoint, 1871, having a place for all of the resources to be accumulated so that someone can more easily plug in, the better. Technori does a great job of this, I think, digitally by connecting the dots. But physical space to like check in, I think it's important. Acceleration is a completely different thing. We are an accelerator of companies through media and technology and capital. Companies need money? Sure. Really, it's about a great founder with an idea that they think can be scaled. And then finding the right technology to enable them to scale it and finding product market fit as fast as humanly possible. So if you're a company that is tech backed or needs tech, it's about getting the product to market as fast as possible, failing as fast as possible, and accelerating the growth, in which case, you know, it's technology. But for other people like Techstars, you go there because you need to accelerate your leadership as a founder. You never started a company before. What does that look like? You know, and then there's Y Combinator and others that accelerate the funding process, accelerate the development of the model, accelerate a million things. I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be in your town. In fact, I think it behooves you to move out of your town and go to an accelerator elsewhere and meet new people and plug more blood and lifelines into your system. But I do think every ecosystem does need at least a hub for people to go connect. Erica, great question. I could go on all, that should be a show on its own, to be honest, but we have to kick it up another notch and go into the actual interview, which was a great one. Georgine Huang, CEO, co-founder, Fairy God Boss. So I think there's no better way to start this conversation than just say, like, I've had a lot of experience working with women 2.0, women who code, organizations similar to Fairy God Boss, in the sense that, like, obviously it's very female centric, but also not focused on just recruitment or trying to get women into the workplace, or in this case, women into tech or into coding or whatever the case, but more focused on sort of the transparency around it and the community aspect of it, which, you know, we've had people on the show before, Stella Shaolu from WeSolve, and things that, you know, really are trying to work with large organizations who I think, they don't think they struggle, but I think they struggle tremendously in creating an environment that is friendly for women to join, especially in areas like, if it's tech, that is predominantly men in some cases, they don't even set it up in a way that can be successful. And so when I see communities like this one, I just think it's a really important piece of the puzzle that a lot of people are missing. So I'd love to have you kind of give us a rundown on Fairy God Boss and exactly what it is and how we got started.
Sounds good. Well, Fairy God Boss is the largest online career community for women. And we have a platform that's free for women and men to use. It's predominantly servicing women. We have a lot of different products as part of what we do. We offer, you know, free job listings, employer profiles, anonymous employee reviews, a daily feed where you can post articles, questions, either anonymously or with your real identity. And we're trying to create support for women who are career-minded, regardless of whether they're looking for a job, for the you know, first time, the seventh time, trying to change careers and everything in between.
So tell me a little bit about the, I've always been interested with regard to the feed place and like sort of like, how do you keep people sticky? How do you keep them on? A lot of these platforms struggle, or have, I guess historically have struggled, in the sense that people will get it to get a job, and then once they've accomplished their mission, they're gone. How do you keep people, you know, in it and engaged and fulfill what you say as a community?
Yeah, you know, I think actually the people that we could think of in our community that are active job seekers are probably only 20% of the population that we serve. So the other people are really there because they're thinking about some kind of life change and planning for it or trying to get advice around it. So we attract people who are thinking about changing industries, but they're not actually looking for a job yet. We attract people who are starting a family or they just got engaged or married and they're thinking about, well, now what do I do about my career because I have to make sure it works for the rest of my life, and they're planners. So there's a lot of question and answer and community around just giving support and advice and information in these moments for people, as opposed to, you know, what you mentioned, which is a job search typically lasts for a finite period of time, hopefully months, not years.
Yeah, for some, it's short, and for others, it seems to be extensively long time. One of the things I think I've noticed, and this is not pertaining to gender or sex or anything like that, it is the fact that we have, I guess, and I'm speaking from the standpoint of tech, like we have this weird sort of disposition that everything is post-mortem. Everything is like, we don't get help ahead of time. We only get help when we're absolutely desperate. And we're in the middle of this thing called the Shy Wellness Challenge, which is based on, physical, emotional, mental, help your mindfulness and just all of this stuff to try to help your better sleep, better this, better that. And ultimately, what I've learned in it, because I was one of the same people, like I would only call for help once I was beyond reproach. I'm finding now that like, if you take care of yourself and join a community of people who you can talk through things with in real time, it keeps the baggage from piling up to a point where you drown. And I wonder if like communities like this are not having even a bigger impact on the hiring force, in the sense that people are starting to recognize ahead of time when they're in a bad job or they're in a place that, whether it's in life or business or both. Where they're starting to recognize that they're not happy, or that there are options available, or that there are people who can help them well in advance of needing the job site. And do you see that as like a main piece of this, or like how I guess did you what was the purpose of this when you started it, and how have you seen it evolve?
So when we launched, it came out of a really bad moment in my job, like career life. And so I guess I'm one of the people that kind of waited until she needed help to like look around at what there was. Yeah. I was fired one day unexpectedly in a management shakeup, and I happened to be 2 months pregnant at the time. So I had a big job as an executive of a company, and I didn't really see the timing coming, and my firing had nothing to do with my performance or even like my, certainly not my pregnancy, but it was my aha moment that, hey, I am a woman and my career prospects and job search might be different because I'm 2 months pregnant and I'm a woman. Yep. And it was the first time in my life, despite having worked for about 10 years and worked in law and finance, which are pretty male dominated, that I even really realized this. And so I went online kind of looking for information after I ran out of my personal network to understand what employers were good for women, what places, had good maternity leave policies, what places were about results as opposed to face time, and because that was the kind of environment I thought I needed in order to thrive. And I didn't find very much, despite, Glassdoor being around for a long time, LinkedIn being around for a long time. I found that both of these major career sites, LinkedIn is a community of a kind, didn't really serve me, and I really believed it didn't serve 70 million women in the American workforce as well as they could. So Fairy Godboss is an answer to what I think is missing from those two sort of giants in the career space. And one of the things that we do that's really important is anonymous reviews for women by women. So unlike Glassdoor, which asks for pros and cons and, what advice would you give management, we specifically ask about the experience of you as a woman at the company. So do you think you're treated equally and paid fairly and promoted in the same way that men at your company are? Do you think your CEO cares about gender diversity? Did you take parental leave? Do you have opinions about, the flexibility and the culture for women specifically at the company? And so that was how we launched, and is the story of how we came to be. But we've evolved since then from just being a review site to understanding that women need advice and counsel and support from each other and their employers at different times, not just when they're looking for a job.
I think it's amazing to me what it takes to realize you're not in control. especially if you're like a senior person, you're like, you're always in control. Your whole life is about control. And you have this job and you think you've got it and there's like nothing that can shake you. You're doing, I mean, obviously your ability to build this, and now I saw recently you raised $10 million Series A. Clearly you're a great operator. And even then it still didn't, you know, save you. It didn't help you. And then you're sort of stuck. And to me, I think it's really interesting to talk to people, not just senior level, I guess everybody, but senior level in particular, I find fascinating because there's sort of we create a cloak, you know, that is sort of our impenetrable defense. And then all of a sudden one day it's like, whoop, nope, you were never defendable. Like it's over and you have nothing to do. And then you're on your own. And, you know, I can only imagine, you know, if you're a person of that sort of, I hate using the word like caliber, but if you're that kind of a person who's a self-starter and you always get out of, you know, always get out of the tight spot, you will be able to figure it out. But for every one of you, there's probably 100,000 people who will not be able to get out, and their entire families and lives depend on it. And where do they go? And I don't think prior to you guys that a place really existed, at least for women in particular.
Yeah, and I think women do face, look, everybody has difficulties and misfortune happens to everyone, right? Like a lot of people in this country are a paycheck away from having to take out loans or, you know, going into bankruptcy. So I don't want to say that, you know, only women have challenges in the workplace, but are the balance that you're talking about, people are biased at taking action, but so much of that, of our lives, are about luck and timing and despite our best intentions and hard work. So I do think it's important to know that and build a network around yourself of people. And it's interesting, in our community, you can toggle between identity and anonymity, and even the anonymous people on our platform, they tell their stories. It actually allows them to tell their stories in a way that you can't when you have to put your name and your face and your resume next to what you're trying to say.
Yeah, so I want to get into that. I want to tell you first, like, I am one of those people out there who obviously works a lot with, you know, women's groups and minority groups in the tech field. And obviously we've always had sort of this mission-based approach to things. But I myself really never saw, you know, I wasn't eating the soup I was selling, essentially. Like I didn't see it firsthand. My wife is now pregnant. She's due literally any minute. And
oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's like, but she's a teacher. And so like she has some protections. And even as a teacher, I can see like things that are not being done properly to help, you know, a person who is, you know, 9 months pregnant, basically. And it's shocking to me. And the reality is she has the recourse to go back and say, listen, I'm part of the board. I'm tenured. Like I have these things, like you will make these happen. And they may be slow, but they do happen. Imagine if she weren't a teacher. Imagine if, you know, any number of things. And it's the first time I really saw it firsthand where I was like, holy cow. Like you literally, you could potentially be damaging your ability to get promoted, because while you were pregnant or whatever situation that might make you different than others, you complained, or you were viewed as a complainer, or you were viewed as someone who was not quick enough to get to, you know, whatever, name your reason. I never saw it until now. And now I completely get it. And it's, and the girl, by the way, the baby coming is a girl, so I better get it quickly. You know, I think it's very interesting, and I don't think people, unless they stop and pay attention, I don't think that they, particularly men, I just don't think they understand. It's not that they don't want to help, they just don't get it. So, you know, pivoting from that to the actual platform, walk me through what it's like, the experience for me, whether I'm a boy or a girl, to go on a platform like this.
Well, if you're a job seeker, you're drawn to sort of different areas of the site probably than someone who's not actively looking for work. So, you know, we have 70,000 jobs on the site. They're listed from our employer partners, which is what we call our customers. Our customers are mostly Fortune 1000 companies that by no means are perfect, but they are actively invested in trying to recruit more women and make their companies better for women. So if you find a job on the site, it means that somebody cares about recruiting women. and they do. So and all the jobs have sort of the company's employee review ratings next to them. So you can see, if you're a woman, what other women have said about working there. So that's what makes our job board different than others and pretty unique. And then at the same time, you can also obviously read the reviews if you want to dig in depth. And our reviews are really Invasive is one way of describing them, but that makes them all the more useful, I think, for people. So we ask 15 sort of questions, including, you know, what department and title you might have. Now, some of this people opt not to share to protect their, you know, privacy. Sure. But those who do share, you get a sense, really, like, this is, you know, a problematic department, or this is a, you know, the job review isn't all equal, right? If you work in PR, you might only care what the PR people think and less about what the female engineers think, or maybe not. Maybe you think it's a whole cultural issue, but you get to make that decision.
This is very interesting.
So that's what the job seekers do.
So we'll use that to sort of spin to the community. So am I seeing this right? From a business standpoint, this is, if I'm a job seeker, I'm going to guess that there are opportunities to be pulled into the community deeper so that you do stay, and vice versa. If I'm here as a community member and either looking to hire people or looking for a new job on my own, I will be drawn more towards the job site. But the goal is that whether you came in as a community member or a hirer or a job seeker, there's a place for you. And then the idea is that you would then make these people travel into the different areas of the site. Am I getting this right?
Yes, absolutely. And so what parts of the site we expose you to are a function of sort of what you do and how you came in. So like most, you know, social platforms, we care a lot about user behavior and data, and we try to personalize your experience. And the fact that we have a feed and a whole onboarding process is about trying to personalize your experience so that you see the stuff that's most relevant to you.
And then, from a monetization standpoint, are you guys looking at this as like, is there a paywall? Is it ad driven? Is it a combination, recruiting fees? Like how are you guys making the money on this?
Yeah. So our revenue model is entirely enterprise. So we go into the HR departments of mostly Fortune 1000 companies at this point, because we're still new and small, and we're targeting those we think have, you know, the biggest budgets. So we tell them that if they want to recruit women and tell their story alongside employee reviews of why they think they're a great company to work for, they can buy an annual subscription with us, which allows them to keep their jobs on our site for a year and allows them to have a branded profile on our site for a year. That's sort of our entry, that's our gateway drug, and we have some other things that we offer on top of that, but it's an entirely B2B business model.
Very cool. It really does it. So like if you haven't heard of it, you should check it out. WeSolve. It's really minority driven, very similar. Mm-hmm. It lacks the, I haven't looked at it in a little bit, so I'm saying this and Stella will probably text me and be like, what the hell? It lacks sort of the social enterprise piece of it that I think makes you different. There's sort of like a, I don't know if you're familiar with the company called Built in Chicago, Built in Boston, Built in DC.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of a component there on the community side that I think is very intriguing. And then the reality is you have absolutely what every single big business wants, which is the highest qualified and capable candidates. And you have a finger on the pulse of them, which I think is something that a lot of the, not hiring sites, but like, we'll call it comparable sites, the comparable quote unquote communities, the networking type things, they lack, because their entire monetization model is actually based on feet in the door and not actually knowing anything about the people that are in there, nor are they qualifying those people in any way. And so I think that's an incredibly smart move on your part. And obviously why you guys have been successful. I think it's really cool. How did you individually, like, so you talked about how you got to this moment where you knew there was a problem. How did you individually be like, this is what I'm going to build? And has this been something that's sort of like on the roadmap? I mean, nothing goes perfectly, but on the roadmap, or is this something that you have sort of built to point A and then you look around like, what else do we need? What do they need? Point B and so forth. How have you pursued the actual build of this?
I was just talking to my co-founder this morning about the fact that we're both running a marathon and a sprint. So to use that analogy to answer your question, I think we've always had a long-term vision that we continue to steadily chip away at, because it's not like community is just, you know, form out of air, like spontaneously. You have to do a lot of things to nurture it, to cultivate it, to observe it, to go where they want to go. You can't control, by definition, how a community evolves entirely. You can nudge it. But then the sprint part of it is that, the market develops. We launch before, you know, before Me Too, before Hillary Clinton ran for president, before a lot of this stuff. I mean, we're only 4 years old, but that's how much, you know, 4.5 years old, but that's what's happened since then. And I think some of the sprints that we made were around reacting to market opportunities and companies realizing, oh, we really need to do something about gender diversity. And in some ways, that's made our existence as a company easier, and you just, So I think it's a little bit of like, yes, we do see things at certain moments and say we have to decide whether to react to this now. And there's like a moment in time. And other things that are just longer term, we're chipping away at this really big idea, which is to, you know, there's 600 million women, 600 million people, 100 million people around the world with LinkedIn profiles, and 45% of them are women. How do we get to them? Like, that hasn't fundamentally changed.
Yeah, it's so we have, I feel like Technori has a very, albeit different goals, a very similar path. And that, like, I talk to people about this and my own business partners who were not founders of the company, about the reality that I always look at you, you're using the same, describing the same thing using different terms. I look at this as sort of living in the macro, but also operating in the micro. So like, I keep an eye on my end goal and what our success looks like, and it has to look like, but every day is a sprint. Every day I'm pursuing all the little things that are going to happen in order for me to get to the big thing. And I'm telling you, for anyone out there who does not built or been a part of community building, you have no idea. Like, the amount of work that it takes to run a community and know that in most businesses, if you have a good brand, you can shove product down throat and be like, that's it. That's the deal. In a community, the community shoves product down your throat. You're the one who has to sit back and be like, what can I do to make myself and my resources more useful to you? Which makes predicting things so much more difficult. And like, one person coming in can sour everything. And it's amazing to me when I see companies, even yourself, like 4 years, like, that's not a long time, but in my opinion, in community building, it's really a long time, because there's just not a lot of people out there who have been successful.
Yeah, because it's hard. It's hard.
Well, it never ends. There's no breaks. Because, like, at any given time, you know,
and people and groups evolve, right? And right alongside with you.
Well, the thing is, they evolve. It goes both ways. Because, like, you know, I speak for myself here, but, like, I've evolved since the Technori start, and where we went. Like, my business vision has evolved a little, but, like, not, you know, not monumentally, but personally. I'm not as engaged going to events and doing things. I'm not, you know, a believer in things that I used to believe in even a year or two ago. And so you can't let your personal belief system impact others if they're enjoying it or finding success. That's not your opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter so much. Like, but then you also have to want to be a part of a company that you want to be a part of. And so you've got to find a way to sort of ease your own tension and help others and put out fires and herd cats. And I mean, there's so many things. And it's like, I don't think anyone who hasn't worked in the community space, I don't think they can appreciate fully the fact that, you know, at whatever time of day, somebody in your community is up and they're on your site. And that is something that product companies, I don't think, face ever really.
Right.
Very interesting. Yeah, no, I find this very fascinating. So this is, it's cool. I like this. If you could, before we wrap up here, you know, I'd love to know one or two things that you think, you know, one to the candidate and one to the company recruiting. What are the most, like, what is the most important thing that for the sake of your company, you know, we'll keep it to female, a female candidate looking for a job, what is the number one thing, completely regardless necessarily of gender, but what is the one thing that they really need to know or do right? And then also on the recruiting side, what is the number one thing that you really think they need to know or do right?
So for the job candidate, I'm always surprised at how many people don't have an elevator pitch for themselves. And this is from the perspective of a hiring manager, but also I just see how job seekers sort of represent themselves in terms of, this is what I want, this is what I want, as opposed to thinking about how it's going to be heard on the other side, which is what everyone just wants to know in like 3 seconds. you know, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And I'm just amazed always. And this is men and women, but I think women in particular are, I will generalize here at the risk of generalizing.
Our whole life is generalized. Listen, it's not like anyone listens to this.
Self-promotional. Less about braggadocio. Yeah. That's probably why we think that women are less successful getting outreach from recruiters on LinkedIn because they just don't have a loud screaming LinkedIn profile in the same way that possibly a male counterpart would feel comfortable putting all kinds of things on their LinkedIn profile about how amazing they are.
If it makes a difference, I completely agree with you. I hear and see, this might be an understatement, 10 to 1, the idiot guy friends I have, the what I call corporate bros, versus the women I know who post just as much, but it's not as loud. It's like, it's a link like, hey, folks, this is something that I found useful. You might find it useful, too. Meanwhile, it'll be some like corporate bro I know on there talking about like this is the only way. And they're super loud. And
right. Like, and I'm a genius. Look what I found.
Yeah, exactly. It's look what I did and found. And the women are usually more sort of like, I found this helpful. I hope it helps you, too. And it just doesn't get the clicks. And it's like you're 100%. I think you're 100% accurate. It's like I just said this to one of the guys on my team. Actually, I said it to Michael, who got the phone to you. So if Michael's listening, here you go. You don't get anything you don't ask for. You got to tell people, I want this opportunity. And it's just sort of how you tell it is sort of your own business, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then on the an employer side, how to be a great place for women. A lot of companies try a lot of different things, and I think you also need to tell women that you're trying because no place is perfect. No place is perfect for every kind of person, much less every kind of woman. So some women want to become the CEO, and other women really don't and really just care about, or maybe they're in a phase of their life where they really care about their family and caretaking, and they're just not that interested in whatever's going on. They want to come in, do their job, and leave, but have their work-life balance respected. And I think, you know, companies need to tell the story of what they're doing and how they understand that there's different kinds of people, as opposed to just saying, hey, we just improved our maternity benefits, so you should think we're amazing. Well, that's only one part of a woman's life, right? And even if you have kids, even if you have, like, multiple kids like I do, that's still only X number of years. You're not, like, living that every day. My youngest is now one, and so I'm done with children. I have three. I'm not my next company or my next job. If I ever get a job working for somebody else, I'm not going to be particularly interested in their maternity leave benefits for myself. I'll look at it as an indication of what kind of place it is. But I think, you know, women are not a monolith. You have to do multiple things, and you have to tell everyone what you're doing. You can't just assume people know it.
I think that's incredible advice. I quote this frequently. Julie Novak, the founder of Party Slate, had her at a speaking at a lead hership sort of panel we did, and it was like a very private thing. We invited only CEO people that invited their own friends and sort of thing to get a gauge in the community. And the very first, and I will say, I'm not going to say the person's name, incredibly tapped into the right things to say and all that jazz. First thing right off the bat was like that the dreaded "how do you do it" question. And her head nearly exploded. Was like, nobody asked my husband that, ever.
Yeah.
And there's this assumption, and it happens on women and men, that the recruiter or the hirer makes an assumption that you're waiting to hear me say something that will, in my opinion, help you. You think it'll help you, versus just being transparent and being like, listen, these are the things we do really well and we care about. These are the things that the people work here care about as a whole, which means that they have the data and actually know this, which is a whole other thing. And that they asked questions to the candidate to find out more about them and tell them where they're weak and be honest and be like, here's what we're trying to do to improve. That transparency, and I know it's a big part of your business, I really think that is... Well, I'll just say the companies in Chicago, I can't speak for everywhere else. The companies that I know in Chicago who are incredibly transparent, too much, are the most successful and have the best talent of all of them. Because there's no question mark. They're the first one to step out and be like, this one we screwed up, which also makes it give them a lot more, society gives them more patience with mistakes because they know that they're accountable. And I think that that's a huge point. I really like that you said that.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, Scott.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time here. Where do people go to sign up for Fairy God Boss?
Well, we have a pretty unique name, so it's hard not to find us.
That is very true.
So, Fairy God Boss, we're on social, we're on the internet, obviously. And for any women listening or men who care, allies, we'd love to have you join the community.
Awesome. Georgine, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Learn more about upcoming events, investment opportunities, check out the blog at technori.com, subscribe to the newsletter, download podcasts on Spotify, follow us on social at technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.